Good morning and welcome to the Adult Sunday School. Pastor is not feeling well this morning, and several of the men received a phone call to ask us to step in, and with the Lord's help, that's what we're going to do, only with his help. And I want to begin this time in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we come before your presence humbly, with our sins confessed, with a soft heart, thankful that you are here, and thankful that this is your assembly, not ours. And Lord, may we gather today and the days to come, looking for your soon coming, waiting for you to speak to our hearts in a special way and do a special work in our hearts. We think of those who are not able to come, that want to come, that you would even continue that work in their hearts. You're right there with them. You're right here with us also. Lord, we don't want to be bumps on a log. We want to be actively pursuing, letting you do that work. May our hearts continue to be soft. May our hearts continue to be yielded. We think of the young ones downstairs and the helpers and teachers there, that they would even be honoring you also. So Lord, do that work in our hearts. Don't let us leave this place the same as we are now, but that we would be drawn closer and have a more intimate relationship with you and be excited even more about you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you, right where you're sitting, to visualize the physical nature of this local assembly. Physically, the age group. You can start with me. We have people in here who are getting older physically. You can see the changes. Some come with canes. Some come with a scooter. Some come with a walker. Some come with physical pains, unbearable pain. Some can't come because of the situations they're in, and they want to be here. We think of those who have problems with their eyesight. Some can't drive at night. I'm one. Headlights seem brighter than they used to be. Maybe it's my eyes. I don't know. People have ear problems, physical problems with the ears. Some may have spiritual problems that don't want to hear. But I'm talking about the physical changes that everybody's going through. I'm not picking on any situation, because all of us have situations that we're going through. As a young kid, I used to laugh at bald people. Now look at me. I learned my lesson. I'm still a knucklehead, but I learned. Take a picture of yourself. No, not even that. Look back. When you go home, look at a picture of yourself 30 years ago. Is that the same person? Then go in front of the mirror and look at yourself and look at the photo. Who are those two people? It's different. That's a physical change. I'm not saying that we as an assembly are old, but we're getting there. We're getting there. Do you find it difficult at times when you lay down on the floor or go to the gym, you lay down and try to get back up? I have to pretend I had a cramp in my leg or something like that. It was kind of embarrassing. But that's the change that we're going through. Everybody's getting older. Have you ever told a little kid, hey, I'm going to race you from one spot to the next, and you give them a head start, and you say, go, and you run, and you try to catch them, and that kid just pulls away from you. Boy, you're getting older. Getting older. I go to basketball games, high school games during the season, and I have a coach's pass where I can just show them the pass and go on in. And this year, there was a fellow there at the door that I'd never seen before. And I said, do I have to show my coach's pass? He looked at me and he said, no, you go right on in. You're a senior citizen. I said, wow. I said, you know, you could have at least given me the benefit of the doubt and asked. And everybody else who around him works with him knew me. And they just laughed too, and I laughed. But it was a reminder that I am getting there. I didn't say old, I said I'm getting there. And you are too. We could get discouraged because of aging. We could get discouraged. We can look back and think, wow, I used to do certain things. It was easy. I was limber. I could do all kinds of things. Things that we take for granted that were easy become very difficult or getting difficult for us. And we could get discouraged by looking back and saying, wow, you know, what's going on? But that's the old physical body that we have. It's supposed to happen. But the inner man, there's a different story. There's your strength. There's our strength in him. Christ in me. I'm in God. I'm in Christ. There's a big difference. A big difference. Someone showed me a photo of a beautiful landscape. And I said, wow, that's nice. And the person, it was a nice picture. But I said to that person, don't get used to it. Don't settle for that. God has a lot more plans for us. His kingdom, when we get to heaven, it's going to blow that away, what you just showed me. We don't have the words to explain. We couldn't comprehend it now anyway. God were to show us all everything now, the brains we have now, we'd be in a mental institution. We could not handle it. We could be discouraged by what's happening in the world. Yesterday, or was it the day before? Big war, Iran. Big war. We could be discouraged saying, oh, things are getting worse. God said in his word, these things are going to happen. And that's not even the biggest thing that's going to happen. It's going to be Armageddon, the Great Tribulation, all kinds of things. We, the brethren, we won't be there. We won't be there. Thank God we won't be there. And we won't have these same bodies either. I'm going to read you something called There Was a Time. Time. There's no time up here. No clock. There was a time. There was a time when handshakes meant more than a contract now. When if you gave a man your hand, you took a solemn vow. There was a time when justice meant more than just playing a game. When guilty men weren't turned loose to rob and kill and maim. There was a time when marriage meant more than just saying, I do. When man and wife were mates for life and worked the tough times through. There was a time when manners meant more than just thanks and please. When men could rise or hold the door and not feel ill at ease. There was a time when freedom meant more than just what's for me, when each right carried with it responsibility. There was a time when families meant more than just groups hard pressed, when mothers still taught their daughters and fathers still knew best. When neighbors helped each other, There was a time when learning meant more than what's in school. When neighbors helped each other and we lived the golden rule. There was a time when America meant strong and proud and free. When people's thoughts weren't molded by what's that wasteland on TV. There was a time, that time could come again. If wisdom, love, and honor would rule the hearts of men. It's not realistic to expect society to regain the honor and return to the values which it once had in years gone by. But the grace of God, however, we can expect those whose hearts are ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ to set a godly example. In our age group, we can remember those things. We can look back and see those things that used to be and try to explain that to people who are not of our age group. They have no concept how things used to be in society, in our own lives. But we as believers, is yesterday all that you have? That's sad. That is all you have, is yesterday. We can get discouraged and get off the path. We could very easily do that. You don't want to settle for where you are right now. Spiritually, you're in Christ. Is that it? Nothing else? If we get that way, discouraged, we have a tendency, a prone to wander, to go off the path that God has for us. Very easy to do that. When you're discouraged, we're looking the wrong thing. We're looking at our physical condition. We're looking at our circumstances. And we throw a little pity party for ourselves if we're not careful. We get discouraged. Turn to Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We cannot do it on our own. We can't do it. That's why we get discouraged. We get off the path because we tried to do it. God has saved us. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've received him, you're saved. And we are his workmanship. He wants to do that work in our lives. When we do it, God says, how'd that work out? Go ahead, you're on your own. And that's what we do. We fumble, we get discouraged, we get off the path, we can't figure things out. Because that's what we want to do. That's what the old man wants to do. Don't let the physical situation in your life dictate to you how the inner man is going to live. I I want to pray, Lord, keep me from myself. I'm prone to wander. All of us are prone to wander. Keep me from myself. I'm my biggest enemy. You are your biggest enemy. Don't blame anyone else but yourself. If you don't get that understood, go look in the mirror and say the same thing. We are our own biggest problem. Turn to Ephesians 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. You can follow. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That was me. That was me. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's me. That's me. I was there. I was there. Defiantly, I was there. I was there. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That was me wholeheartedly. I had shared my testimony with you before. I'm not the same person. Anger problem, problem with my parents, authority, doing right. They made a law, I broke it. School, I was a horrible person. Could do the work, no problem, but disruptive. Didn't care, wanted to do my thing. And if you didn't let me do my thing, we had problems. And the problem was me. Verse 4, but God, wow, but God. We can look back and say, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But God died for all of us. All of our sins, past, present, and future. For a knucklehead like me. I don't know if you're a knucklehead, but he died for you also. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful that I'm saved, that God didn't erase the memory of how I was, the worst part of my life before I was saved, what he put me through. I allowed him to let him do that in my life. I was stubborn, rebellious. And you didn't want to know me back then, and I didn't want to know you either. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It's a gift. It's a gift. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. It's a gift. Get that through your head and your heart. I did. If I did it, you can do it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, look what I did. I went to church today. I did this. No, God didn't. Nah, that's you. It's all about him. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Right there, that tells you what you're doing has got to be in line with God's work. In you, if it's to work. You doing your own thing. How's that working out? Doesn't. It doesn't. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, and the flesh made by hands, that in the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, Ye, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We were so far off. Now, because of his blood, I am close to him. I am in him, and he's in me. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the cross of Calvary. I can't turn back. I can't turn back. God has done a work, and he's not finished with me. There's more to come. I don't want to turn back. Have you reached that part in your life, in your walk with the Lord, where you can say from the heart, I can't turn back? Get to that point, you'll know what I'm talking about. In our growing in the Lord, you have two choices. You can grow or you can groan. You can grow in the Lord or groan. I'm going to read you something about not getting old. You tell me that I'm getting old. I tell you, that's not so. The house I live in is worn out. That, of course, I know. It's been in use a long, long while. It's weathered many a gale. I'm really not surprised you think it is getting somewhat frail. The color's changing on the roof, the windows getting dim, the walls a bit transparent and looking rather thin. The foundation's not so steady as once it used to be. My house is getting shaky, but my house isn't me. My few short years can't make me old. I feel I'm in my youth. Eternity lies just ahead, a life of joy and truth. I'm going to live forever there. Life will go on, it's grand. You tell me I'm getting old. You just don't understand. The dweller in my little house is young and bright and happy. Just starting on a life to last throughout eternal day. You only see the outside, which is all that most see. You tell me that I'm getting old. You've mixed my house with me. Is that how you feel? Is that what you know? This isn't me. The inner man you can't see. Christ can see it. Quality of life, not quantity of life, is what really counts. It's not how many moments you process, it's how you process the moments. It's not how long you live, but that how well you live. The quantity is God's business. The quality is our responsibility. Turn to Matthew 25. Verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. One thing that I really want to hear from the Lord, and I hope that's what you want to hear also. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wow, I want to please him. I want to do that which pleases him. I don't want to do what I want to do. I don't want to do that. In the moment that happens, I want to confess it. And remember how I was before I was saved. The hardest time of my life. And I called myself indestructible when I was younger, before I was saved. Could handle any situation. Wasn't afraid of the neighborhood. Wasn't afraid. Didn't care. Stubborn, hard-headed, knucklehead. That's what I was. But I'm still a knucklehead in Christ. But he put me through something that was perfect for me. And the moment I was saved, I knew instantly. Put my life back together, put my marriage back together, put everything back together in a better way, his way, not mine. And I have no regrets, no regrets at all. The inner man. I didn't say I went to the gym and worked out and did this and that and feel great. No, it wasn't that. It's what he did inside of me. Took all of my sins. Died for all of my sin. Buried. He rose again. Gave me eternal life in him. Thank you, Lord. That cross up there never gets old to me. Never. Stays fresh. The memories that I have of my past, still fresh. A reminder of what he did and what he is still doing in my life. I mean, I had friends when I was at work turn their back on me because of my testimony and sharing. Didn't bother me. I know that I'm saved. Proudly. And after a while, those same friends at work, they respect me. Used to be a challenge for them to even speak to me, but they respect. They saw that there was a difference in me. I think some of them were afraid of me. My parents were afraid of me because I made a tremendous change. They couldn't believe it because I never had a kind word to say to anyone. Didn't laugh, joke. I was temperamental, angry person, combative, looking for trouble, looking for fights. No. Different. God did that. God worked in my heart. I don't have to do those things. For what? Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. In verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Think about it. Some people have problems looking and seeing, walking, right now physically, keeping their balance physically. Did God say he didn't care that he was worried about you seeing things? No. Even with the eyes that we have now, we can't perceive. God has to do a work in us, give us a new body. We can see some of the things that he has planned for us. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We have all of eternity to discover all that he has for us. And we're only just beginning. You think about it. How vast, how much we have to learn. We can't even figure it out. Try counting all the stars in the galaxy. Try counting the galaxies. Can't do that. Count the sands in the sea, on the beach. Or just go to the beach and just get a handful. Try counting those. Can you do that? No. You can't do that. God has so much for us. And eternity goes on and on and on and on. You think he's diminishing? He's getting smaller? No. We couldn't handle all the stuff that he has for us now. And when we get with him, there's so much more. And I don't think I'll be going around saying, wow, wow, there's so much. But I have a smile and a thankful heart that I'm there with him. And I trust you'll be there also. We've been studying joy, his joy, in Sunday school. We've been studying it, reading about it. My question, are we living it? Is it an academic process for you? Are you living joy in your own heart? When God's working in your heart, you can't hide it. You can't hide it if you try. You can't. If something exciting is happening in your heart, can you muffle it? You can't. You can't. But when God's working in your heart, you can't hide it. You don't want to hide it. You can't. Try to be angry and happy at the same time. Can you do that? I don't think you can. But when God's working in your heart, you can't hide it. You can't hide it. You thank him for it. Do we enjoy our salvation in every situation, moment by moment? Moment by moment. The beginning of Sunday school, moments pass since you first came in here. Enjoying, it's a continual process. Doesn't say, enjoy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Maybe then come back Sunday. No, moment by moment, all the time, continually. Enjoy. Believing in the Lord helps me enjoy my salvation. I'm going to read you a little poem. But only God keeps you going. Happiness keeps you sweet. Trials keep you strong. Sorrows keep you human. Failures keep you humble. Success keeps you glowing. But only God keeps you going. Amen. He's the only one that can keep us going. Not you, not me. Only he can. Only he. God says in his word, without me, you can do nothing. You understand that? I do. I do. And if I forget, my memory comes back, how I used to be before I was saved. I was good in certain areas, but that wasn't godly. Wasn't pleasing the Lord, pleasing myself. Pleasing myself. Sports, pleasing myself. Martial arts, pleasing myself. Oh, I can do this, I can do that. So what? That was the old man. New man, I'm under new management. I'm under his management now, not mine. What is a moment? How long is a moment? Think about it. People say, can you come over here? In a moment, I'll be there. Well, God has some examples of a moment. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. In verses 51 and 52, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In a moment, how fast is a moment? That's when the Lord comes back. Catches us up in the air in a moment. Whoop, we're gone. You know, I just thought of something. Suppose he came right now. I hope no one's still here. If you're here, you're going to see a bunch of clothes, walker, canes, eyeglasses, ties, dresses, nobody in them. What happened? Boy, I hate to see. Some people be happy. Oh, they're gone. You know what? We'll be joyful. We'll be with the Lord. And I don't think I'm going to look back. My eyes are going to be focused on him, thanking him, praising him. Really. In a moment. 2 Corinthians 4. In verses 17 and 18. Thinking about problems, physical problems that we go through. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Don't be caught by the affliction, physical affliction that you may be going through. You may not be able to come to church. Oh, I can't come because I'm sick, I'm hurt. God's right there with you. He's right there. He will comfort you, teach you, help you right where you're at. In a different way, he can teach you, show you. In a different way, he's dealing with each and one of us here in a different way. A way perfect for you. Perfect for me. We are his workmanship. What he does in me is different from what he may do in you, and vice versa. And remember, the affliction is light. We say, oh, this is hard. God says it's light. It's light. And it's only for a moment. Think about the things that you went through that you thought were hard in your life in the past, and you look at it now. It's past. You look at it and say, well, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad at all. But when we're going through it, we think it's the hardest thing. But God can comfort us if we allow him to. We're going to talk about time now. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's very simple. Redeem the time. Times that we live in are hard. Awful times. But be encouraged in the Lord. Be encouraged in the Lord. He'll protect us. He'll guide us. Keep us. And if he doesn't keep you, you will not be kept. But he promises to keep us. So what's the problem? The problem is me, you. We won't allow him to. So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't let the physical problems get you down. Be encouraged. It is only a light affliction, and it's only for a moment. I'm going to read you something about God's time clock. God's time clock is ticking. The day of the Lord is approaching. For the nations and for those that dwell on the earth. Few Bible references speak clearer than Romans 13, 11, and 12. Turn to Romans 13. In verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation near than when we believed. It's near. We look at the headlines, the war going on. There could be other things that are going to happen. We're near. We're near. We're one day closer than the Lord, for the Lord to come and take us in the air. Not one day, one moment closer. Anytime. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged about your physical situation. That'll be gone too. In verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. God is so good. Turn to, well, I'll put that off. The Lord uses the words continue and keep to guide us and to encourage us. Whenever you see it in the Bible, well, not whenever, but he uses those words continue and keep throughout the Bible to encourage us to keep his ways and to guide us. To guide us. Take heed to what he says. Turn to Proverbs 8. Verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways, keep, continue in his ways. He didn't say, take a break here. Okay, rest, take another break. He didn't say, it says continue, continue. We put in, well, I'll stop. And God didn't say that. He says, continue, keep. In Psalm 119, when you read it, and throughout the Bible, you will see the words continue and keep. God wants us, God tells us, keep his word, and his word will keep us. Read it over and over. But not only read it, let God work in your heart. You don't want this to be an academic session. You want it to be a heart movement. John 15. John 15, verses 8 through 10. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And the Father hath loved me, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in him. Continue, keep, and abide. God tells us over and over and over again, continue, keep, abide. That's part of eternal life. That is eternal life. Continuing doesn't stop. Doesn't stop. It doesn't rest. It keeps going. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. It didn't say stop. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Don't try to understand God's peace. He just got to tell you. You won't understand it, so why waste your time? Why be a fool about it? He told us you won't understand it. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. And thank him for it. Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep continually. Keep. Keep. In Jude 24, this is what God's going to do. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. He's keeping us. He's keeping. We have to do our part. Keep him close to him. We won't lose our salvation. No, we won't. But are we enjoying Christ in us? We're in Christ. Our sins are forgiven forever. Are we enjoying him living in us, walking in us? Are we walking in him? I'm going to close with 2 Corinthians 4. In verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. My question to you, believest thou this? Do you believe that? I do. I do. There's not one lie in God's word. Closing prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for these moments that we've been able to put our hearts there before you and let you do that work in us. We want to keep our hearts right there with you and let you continue that work through the morning worship, the days to come, the moments to come. We want it to be making ourselves available continually, to be abiding continually, keeping ourselves and continuing to let you be the great I am in all parts of our lives and let you be the workmanship. Bless the person who will be bringing forth your word today and encourage us in you, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.